Carvana's so easy, just a click, and we've got ourselves a car. See?
So many cars. That's a clicktastic inventory.
And check out the financing options. Payments to fit our budget. I mean, that's...
Clickonomics 101.
Delivery to our door?
Just a hop, skip, and a click away.
And bought.
No better feeling than when everything just... clicks. Buy your car today on... Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
The Burt Show.
All right, time for a ditch or date. Right?
Yes, he's getting her on the phone.
Okay. So she just found out that her current boyfriend is living with his ex.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
That might be of a concern, but we got to get more details, like how long they've been together. Was he hiding this? Like, how long have they been broken up?
Or is it a physical living situation? Is he just living with the memory of his ex?
I think...
Is she paying rent? Is that memory paying rent? Because that has a lot to do with it. Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. All right, this is Ditch or Date. You tell us what's going on. We tell you, you got to ditch that dude. Or you're like, you know, it's not a big deal. This one sounds like a big deal.
Yeah, you tell me. So I'm 26. I've been dating this guy for about 3 months. And everything really is going great. He's so funny. He texts me good morning every day, which is rare these days. And he's even introduced me to a few of his friends. The only weird thing is that he's never invited me over, like ever, to his place. We always hang out at my apartment or we just go out somewhere. And so every time I joke about seeing his apartment, he has some excuse. Like, oh, it's messy. My roommate's working nights. It's being painted, like whatever. It's always something. So finally last weekend, I dropped by unannounced to surprise him with coffee. And that's when I found out he's not living alone and he's living with his ex-girlfriend. I know. He swears though that it's totally platonic. They dated for years and then they broke up a few months ago, but neither could afford the rent on their own. So it's kind of a tough situation. And he says they're just coexisting until one of them finds a new place and insists there's, you know, nothing going on, that they're literally just there. And he even told me that, you know, that I'm the first person that he's actually liked since they broke up. I'm just not so sure because the ex just seemed way too comfortable, like walking around in her PJs, making breakfast for both of them and calling him by a nickname. And I'm just really torn because part of me does believe him. He's a great guy and he's been open and honest since I found out. But another part of me just can't stop picturing them as this one big, happy, broken up couple. It's just weird. So they still live together and I just, maybe they haven't fully let go. I just don't know.
I just established he's been 100% honest with you since he got busted.
Right.
Okay.
How do we know that for sure though?
Yeah.
You know, we don't. We just have to assume. All right. Question for Abby and Bert. At what point would you like somebody to disclose to you? You're dating them, right? Yeah. At what point should they disclose that their roommate is their ex? Like, when would you like to know that?
Maybe not immediately, because I do think there are exceptions to every rule, but the problem is the rule exists for a reason. And to me, this feels like the dating equivalent of when people are married and they start dating, but they say that they're separated, but they're not legally divorced. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that's all fine and dandy, and I'm sure the divorce is going to go through at some point, but at the same time, why are you dating until you handle the thing that you need to handle, which is moving out of your apartment with the ex that you have?
The international law. I just looked it up.
Oh, there's an international law.
International dating law. Yeah, there's a NATO for dating.
Ooh. We should. That actually is kind of genius.
Isn't that is great. Yeah.
That's an SNL skit waiting to happen.
Yes. Is 3 days. 3 dates after like the third date. I mean, you're establishing you guys are going to hang out with each other. So, hey, I just want to let you know, now that things are moving into this mm-hmm. direction, I am living with my ex right now, but that is going to change here over the course of the next couple of months. But I wanted to be 100% transparent with you. There is nothing going on. If he gets ahead of that, it's all good, man. How long have you guys been going out?
We've been going out for 3 months. Yeah.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
It's not even now. It's turned into... I like to think I'm self-aware enough to know I would have an issue with if I'm dating a guy and he's still living with his ex, because I come with issues, so I would have an issue. That's just who I am. But the biggest red flag here is the fact that he hid it from you for 3 months.
I get why he hid it, though, because that's such a hard thing to explain. But it's a hard thing to explain because there's such an easy solution. That's what I don't really get. Like, if you know this is going to be a weird thing for girls to know when you're dating them, why not find another lease? He literally told that to you himself, that they're just in this situation until one of them finds another place. It's not like apartments are hard to come by. Get your butt out of there, find an apartment, and move on.
Well, not if financially, some people are... They're not able to live on their own.
But you can terminate a lease and then find a roommate. Like, it's not rocket science. Like, people are doing this out here.
It certainly can be done, but this all could be avoided with a conversation in the first month of dating each other. How old is this dude?
So he's 27.
Yeah.
We're just about the same age.
I would probably say at 27, I probably would have gone as long as I could not telling this. And then
you would have hit it.
I would have probably hit it.
27-year-old Bert would have hit it.
Yeah, he was a coward. I probably would have hit it, saying, like, this is not a big deal. I don't want her to make a big deal out of this. There's nothing going on between the two of us, so I just won't tell her. And then we'll be moved out and she'll never even know. I probably would have done that when I was 27, but it would have been the wrong decision back then also.
All right, well, the question at hand, does she ditch him or does she continue to date him? Is this like a break-upable offense?
Well, it's the 90-day free trial rule. Like, I always say, after 3 months, you kind of know whether or not you want to be with someone or not. So what's your gut telling you? Like, do you think you can move past this? Do you think he really is being 100% honest with you? Because if you feel like you still want to keep seeing this guy, I got to tell you, it's cold out here in these streets. Stick with this guy. Winter is coming.
Winter.
Well, he doesn't have to worry about being cold. He's being warm with Kelly and his ex.
And he has a very warm and cozy one-bedroom apartment, question mark.
Is there anything wrong with her going to him and saying, hey, this whole thing makes me uncomfortable. If we're still dating each other in 2 months, then I would like you to be living, you know, away from her.
See, I'm doing a different take. Okay. If he really likes you, he will go to great lengths to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, if I were you, I would be like, hey, so I get that, you know, you are in a predicament and I understand your reasoning of why you live with your ex. I hope you can, and I can respect that. I hope you can respect that it makes me uncomfortable. So, and I really like you. So when you get to a better place, or if, you know, when you move out and when you are no longer living with your ex, please give me a call and see if that lights a fire under his butt.
Reaction.
Yeah. And so then it's all about like how he responds. So if he does, like, it lights a fire and he gets out of there and he gets his own place, I think that's a telltale sign. This dude really likes you and he wants to be with you. If he doesn't, well, then there's your sign.
This is a win-win all the way around. Because here's your homework assignment, to have that combo with him today. So there's your win. Okay. You get to the truth. Mm-hmm. And then we get ratings by you calling us tomorrow and letting us know how that conversation went.
Do you feel comfortable doing that? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was like my instinct to... like, kind of give him, I didn't want to make it like an ultimatum, but at the same time, it has been 3 months. I'm like, okay, we really like each other. So what's the deal? What's the time? Where's the timeline?
This is not an ultimatum. This is a definite test, though.
No,
it is a test.
It's not a test.
It is absolutely a test.
I love how we're just reading down the thesaurus for ultimatums.
It's not an ultimatum.
Yeah, because the ultimatum isn't like, hey, move out or I'm gone. That's the ultimatum.
No, she's leaving. Like, she's like, listen, I'm going to bounce. You need to figure some stuff out. And when you do, you know, if I'm still free, I'll be here and I would love to date you. I don't want to date you under these circumstances. And I think you are well within your right to say that.
Winter is coming. And all we're going to know is if we're going to find out if your Jon Snow knows something or not.
Well, he sounds like a great guy. If he isn't open to what you're saying, can Abby have his phone number?
Because I'll look past it.
Because it's cold. And you don't want to be cold.
It's cold out here.
He sounds warm. He sounds like a great guy.
Uh-huh. I mean, red flags only look red if you don't have rose-colored glasses on.
All right, Kelly, call us tomorrow and let us know how it goes, okay?
Okay. Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye. Hey.
The Burt Show.
So what are we going to be doing once The Burt Show is over? Jackson's plan changed a couple of weeks ago. Bittersweet conversation I had with you last week.
Oh, traitor. Excuse me. some lettuce stuck in my throat.
That was really good.
I have tried to tell listeners that The Burt Show is not a life sentence. All right. You are allowed to find other jobs if they are going to make you happy. But people love to say, like, if somebody left, oh, must be terrible. No, man, go do your thing, dude. So what are you? The plan was for Jackson to go on over to Pioneer. He accepted a job. I was happy. Dude was going to be taken care of because you're so talented and I love your chemistry. But you found something else.
Yeah. excuse me. I was obviously super appreciative of the Pioneer offer, and I accepted it instantly once I heard of it, because I mean, obviously it's a fantastic opportunity. I've been working there for the better part of 2 years.
It's the only thing that was on the table also at that time.
That is very true. But I'm really proud of what I've helped sort of build and garner there. And
not that proud, apparently.
Well, let me get there. I really have enjoyed my time there. But obviously, I've been having some very difficult internal conversations with myself about what is it that I want to do and what other opportunities maybe are out there. And an opportunity from somebody more or less kind of fell in my lap over the last few weeks. And it's doing kind of a similar thing that I was doing at Pioneer, where I'm going to be heading up all the brand partnerships with another sort of talent agency, except their creators that they sponsor are all sort of in the YouTube space, which is much more what I'm connected to. That's the majority of the content that I consume on the day to day. And so when I heard about the opportunity, it's right in my wheelhouse. It really made a lot of sense, sort of like linearly as far as like my career trajectory has been going outside of this whole radio part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I figured maybe it was time to take a little bit of a risk and a leap and accept it. But I will tell you that it was not an easy decision, and I was really going back and forth and debating it for a while.
Yeah. What's a while? Like 2-3 hours?
No, the better part of, I mean, I would say like five. I mean, I had like 5 days from when I got the offer to when I needed to give them an answer by, and I waited till the very last second. And I had some very open and candid conversations. Cassie was very instrumental in helping me sort of make this decision.
Push you out the door, you mean?
Well, no, I tried to be supportive, because honestly, even though I make the joke about the traitor, I do, like, that's all of any of us want, mm-hmm. is for the people we work with to be happy and feel fulfilled. And if there's an even better fit than what you already had, then why shouldn't you go for it?
Right. And the really cool thing about talking to Cassie about this is because, you know, Cassie and I have really developed a personal and professional relationship because of the nature of our work and also the fact that we work very closely together. And so I was really appreciative that she was able to give me advice from a friend standpoint, but then also a professional and career driven standpoint. So having both of those perspectives was very helpful.
Well, you will be missed, friend.
And I'm going to miss everyone here.
And the truth is that when people leave, I just want you to be happy, man. So if this fits you a lot better, zero problem with that whatsoever, man. Go and do your thing, man. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, but before you get out of here, you feel like you need to clear your name.
I do. You know, I feel like everyone on the show has their various tropes and character defining traits that they lean into. And there's a reason for that, because, you know, that's sort of that's what you attach to, and that's what you find yourself comfortable being in. And I've pigeonholed myself into being kind of a mean person, I think. And I genuinely don't think that I'm a mean person, but I'm somewhat, I like to incite the chaos, yes, a little bit and stir the pot a little bit. And so I feel like I'm constantly doing things with content brain on, where I'm coming up with ideas of how to stir the pot a little bit.
Oh, Jackson, our lovable a-hole.
Yes, right. And I think that that's something that I can stand by, right?
Every show needs one.
Yes.
Seriously, every show needs a lovable a-hole.
So I went through this years ago because I always felt like I was the bad guy on the show, and I was like the hated person. And our producer, Tracy, back then told me, she's like, when you look at the makeup of any like interesting show, there always needs to be a villain, or like of any bit. And I just happened to be the villain. And so I think when people see you making these jokes, they're like, wow, you're an a-hole. But like, in honesty, sure, it's really part of who you are. Like, these jokes are legit, but it's not all of who you are. You're stepping into the role of the quote-unquote villain to give people, like, lob them so they can make other jokes. And so you can build on stuff. Everyone has a character to play, and sometimes those characters shift, but you, like, it's really who you are, but you also lean into it more than you are in reality.
I don't think there's anything villainous about it whatsoever. It's called a sense of humor. And we can give each other a hard time. I've said this a million times over the years on this show, that when people are giving each other crap, that is a healthy morning show right there. If you're listening to a show when there's one member that's not being made fun of, there's a problem with that member on the show. So, Jax, I have never seen you as a mean person. You like to give people crap and you take it back.
Absolutely. I am more than happy to take it just as much as I can dish it. And that has always been the way that my humor has worked forever between my friends, between siblings, always has been under the guise of joking around and, you know, kind of poking fun at people. And never has my intent ever been anything malicious or otherwise. And I feel like I've made that clear, but obviously I haven't, because this past weekend at Pride, a very joyous occasion where everyone is so happy and smiling and having a great time, and I was having a great time too, and all these listeners were coming up to us and saying how much they loved us, and I was super appreciative of that. But it's kind of one of those things where you read a million nice comments and they don't mean anything to you, but then the bad ones are the ones that stand out in your head. Two separate occasions, people came up to myself, Mikey, and whoever else I was standing with and were like, oh my God, I love you guys on the show so much. I'm so happy. I'm so sad that the show's going away, all that. And then they looked directly at me. This is two separate occasions. One person said, oh, you're really mean. And the other one said, hey, you're kind of an a-hole. And I was kind of taken back, because I'm like, do you not understand that the things that I say and do on here are like, you know, I'm trying to make the bit or whatever it is that we're doing as entertaining as possible. I hope that I never thought that people actually thought that right. I was like this.
Sounds like something an a-hole would say.
But I think it was a little jarring, like, hearing that in person, like straight to my face. And I was like, kind of tried to play it off, but then I was like, man, do people really think that about me?
Yeah, it's one of those things, like when you're not a full-time member and you're like a full-time, you don't have a full-time mic, and so you come on in like spurts, and so people are only getting one aspect of you, right? And we are all layered, nuanced people, like Shrek, we're onions, you gotta peel back the layers, but there's one layer people get over and over again of you, that is you're an a-hole. I will admit, your a-hole layer is very strong, but I also know there's other layers of you.
Really?
I'll take that.
It has always been welcomed.
Yes.
And it really has. And it's part of the balance of a show, man. The comments to me can really make you question who you are. Like, you know who you are, and you'll see a comment or two. And why does a person's perception of you have more weight with you than your perception of yourself?
Totally agree.
It is a mind F,
man. It is.
All right, it's The Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes, like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Carvana's so easy, just a click, and we've got ourselves a car. See?
So many cars. That's a Clicktastic inventory.
And check out the financing options. Payments to fit our budget. I mean, that's...
Clickonomics 101.
Delivery to our door?
Just a hop, skip, and a click away.
And bought.
No better feeling than when everything just... clicks. Buy your car today on... Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
So I made a request of Kristen and Tommy over the course of the last couple of days because there are two kinds of people in the world. There are the kinds of people that like surprises, and there are the kind of people that absolutely hate surprises. I love a surprise, right? So Kristen and Tommy have been doing a lot of work on preparing the shows over the last couple of weeks leading up to October 24th, which is our final day. And up until this point, I have sort of somewhat known who was coming on, and I hit him up after Carl was in here, who I was just so excited to see, and I'm glad you told me about that one in advance, because for days leading up to that, it put a smile on my face knowing that I was going to see the dude face to face. But then after he left, I'm like, you know what, you guys? I would really like not to know at all who's coming back and who's going to join us from these past 25 years.
So Tommy and I had to create a whole other schedule.
Yep, top secret schedule. And this person, when we do get to them, before you introduce them, I do have walk-up music for them.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay.
So yeah, you put that request in, and I was like, fine. We have a ton of people lined up. Tommy and I have curated a list.
And Tracy, too. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Tracy as well. And we have a little behind the scenes, you know, behind the curtain. Tommy and I have created a separate schedule with a surprise guest on it. And so now moving forward, everybody that comes on, whether it's a friend of the Burt Show, a past member of the Burt Show, you are going to be surprised as to who it is.
Are you a surprise person or no?
I think it kind of depends. Like, I love it when it shakes things up a little bit. Like when, like for example, when you guys had Shmiley Shmeen call in, that's a fun surprise. Your retirement, not a fun surprise.
Well, depending on who the guest might be, it might not be a fun surprise for me either.
Oh, we've ran with it. All right. So today's surprise guest for you, Bert, this is a past show member, and I am pleased to welcome back to the show on the phone because he lives in a different city now. Please welcome former intern, former phone screener, former producer, Blake Eason.
Air night is a turn up. 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 Air night is a turn up.
That is a Blake Eason original right there that you're listening to.
That shocked us. Remember that when we played that for the first time?
We were
shocked. Shocked us. Hey, my dude.
Well, well, well. Someone decides to retire and your favorite local news anchor doesn't even get the dang exclusive.
I think you were probably one of the first to know. I think Amanda and I told you probably before most people knew.
I know, but I'm not in the Atlanta market, so I couldn't do anything. I tried to call the Daily Mail, but they didn't call me back.
Hey, first of all, I was very proud of you for your coverage of the Brewers in Chicago last week. Well done.
I mean, dude, what an incredible run it was. And now we got to play the big money Dodgers, who have more money than the world knows what to do with.
And you know me, man. I'm an anybody but the Dodgers fan. Okay, so anyway, dude, so if you are a new Burt Show listener, this guy, you talk about from the bottom working his way up. Now Blake, who started here as an intern and is now hosting, he's the anchor on a Milwaukee news station each and every night. I mean, this dude, you've done it, man. You've done the thing. I'm so proud of you.
Well, thank you, man. Tommy, please don't play any of my old segments because those would not be in my character as a stand-up news anchor these days.
Yes.
There's certain things we can't relive, unfortunately.
Well, then that means, Blake, you need to email Cassie and let her know which segments from the past you don't want reposted.
Listen, you can take the boy out of the Burt Show, but you can't take the Burt Show out of the boy. So.
Seriously.
It got us this far, Kristen.
Yeah, right?
Like, Blake and I, we talk each all the time to each other. When he's looking for career advice or personal advice, we're always on the phone with each other. He introduced me a couple of weeks ago at the Friends of Georgia Radio Hall of Fame. So this isn't shocking.
No, it's
But certainly welcome.
Yes, absolutely. And Blake, we wanted to give you the floor. And also, we're letting Friends of the Burt Show and past Burt Show members select their own segments that they would like to relive if they have one. And Blake, without hesitation, had one that he wanted to relive with us. So I'm going to let you take it, Blake.
Yeah, so before we get to that one, there's so many memories that I have of the Burt Show. I mean, one of the ones that sticks out the most is, Kristen, I don't know if you remember this, but I was getting ready to go on a trip to D.C. And so it's so funny now thinking back to this, because now I cover news out of the White House every day and there's so much I have to learn about it. But back when I was just a little college student who really didn't know much about the world, you had to politely remind me that the National Mall was, in fact, not a shopping mall. I'm not sure if you remember that one.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. I laughed. I cackled. And there are certain segments that you remember, and like throughout the day, like for the rest of the, like I'm sitting there having dinner and I'm just like, that stupid Blake.
God bless him.
So that was certainly one of them. And then of course we have to think about the prank before I left the Burt Show, when I was like in a frantic rush. I'm getting ready to move to a brand new city. I'm feeling all the emotions. I'm leaving the Burt Show. I'm sad. I don't know what's in front of me. And, you know, in the middle of all this, I go and get gas one day, and I just forgot to unplug the gas pump from my car. It's a careless mistake. We've all done it before.
No, we haven't.
The difference is I have to talk about these highs and lows on this radio show, and I think this is a safe place. Little do I know, you're calculating this incredible prank behind the scenes where you say you get the spokesperson for QT on the line, who has surveillance videos of me pulling off the gas station with this pump, and now I'm like thousands of dollars in debt. So honestly, the pranks didn't stop, which sets me up perfectly for my introduction to the show, which is after my very first on-air segment as an intern of the Burt Show. I think I am living my best life, and I'm like, I just did a great segment. I think I impressed the cast. And then Tommy calls me when I'm at dinner with my friends celebrating said internship, only to rain on my parade. Tommy, take it away.
Okay, this was his first day being on the air, and he's just, you know, on cloud nine. Because this is early, very early in a young man's career. He's super excited about radio. And I talk about this, you know, we're old and jaded now, but he's so excited. And Bert explains it. He's out to dinner with his folks, and I call him, and I stay in character the whole time.
We might not be, like, big old fans of, like, pranking people outside of the Burt Show family. We don't really do that kind of thing, but interns, man, that's fresh meat. So he had no idea when Tommy called it this was a prank. In fact, Tommy never broke character. So if he's listening now, this is the first time that he knows.
He is so... I remember being like Blake, being so enthusiastic about radio in the beginning, and he just...
Before we crushed you.
Right.
About halfway through this, I started feeling bad, but it took a lot to not laugh.
All right, go for it.
Hello?
Blake.
Yes, this is Blake.
Hey, Blake. It's Tommy from The Burt Show.
Hey, Tommy.
How are you?
I'm great.
So the reason I wanted to chat is after an intern goes on the air for the first time, it's pretty standard that I kind of sit down or call the intern and talk about their first segment and give like pointers, things you might need to change, and just go over some quick rules in the studio that Cassie may not have gone over with you.
Okay.
And as Bert mentioned to you this morning, I thought it was a great introduction for you to The Burt Show. I thought it was a great story. So good job with that.
Thank you, Tommy. It was a lot of fun.
But a couple things that I do want to go over just in general. Have you got something to write with?
I don't. I'm actually at a restaurant. We're waiting for our table to come available.
No.
I could take notes on my phone, though.
Yeah. Do that.
Okay.
All right. The first thing, as far as being on the air in the studio, we're looking for positivity. So we need you to be more positive and less negative.
Okay.
I've had to address this with a number of interns, especially the male interns. This morning when you were on, have you been on the radio before?
No, I have not.
You came on, you sounded very natural. You have a great radio voice.
Thank you, Tommy. That means a lot coming from you.
So what I need for you to do, though, is just make a little modification the next time you're on. If you come on again, just make a little modification. Can you fluctuate your voice in terms of, like, higher and lower?
Yes! I can try. I had to do it sometimes in theater.
Oh, you've got a theater background.
Yes.
Perfect. Well, you should be able to do this then. So, next time you come on and tell your story, bring the same passion, same enthusiasm, but I need you to make your voice just a little bit higher. Bert doesn't like any cast member or intern to have a deeper voice than him.
Okay.
So you're like right on the edge. So if you can just keep that in mind next time you come on, okay?
Okay, will do.
Another thing I want to address, you know, the Bert Show, our tagline is real funny. And we've got a lot of funny on the show. Kristen's funny. Bert, that's not necessarily his wheelhouse all the time. He'll say something funny every now and then. But with you guys in the background being interns, if you could laugh more at Bert's jokes in the background, and don't ever tell him I told you this.
Okay.
This is just something I tell all the interns. It just makes for a livelier studio. That positive affirmation. So do you think you can do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Another thing with Bert, I didn't really pick up on this morning, but I address this with all the interns. Don't stare at Bert for longer than, say, a couple seconds.
Okay.
We're trying to do the show, so try not to look directly at him when we're doing the show.
Okay.
Something else has been a problem. I can think of one intern in particular. I won't name his name. But Bert absolutely despises mouth breathers. So if you could just keep your mouth closed at all times. I've seen it set him off before. And this one particular intern, oh gosh, it was the worst.
Oh no.
So also keep that in mind. Bert hates mouth breathers.
Does that mean like when I like just like breathing or just like breathe like normal and silent?
Yeah, just breathe like normal. Just don't like have your mouth hanging open and breathing through your mouth. Just breathe through your nose as much as you can.
Okay.
The one other thing that I can think of, whatever you do, don't wear orange. The color orange.
Got it.
He hates orange. Don't bring oranges in the studio. Bert hates anything having to do with orange or oranges. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what happened to him in his past, but he just hates orange.
Okay. No orange. Orange shirt or orange item.
No orange.
Got it.
I appreciate you taking the time. I'm sorry I'm holding you up at the restaurant, but
I
appreciate
fine.
Your
Thank
time.
Thank you for calling and telling me all this. I appreciate all of it.
Okay, and you're back when?
On Friday.
All right, Blake. Yes. Well, great job this morning. We look forward to having you for the semester, and I appreciate it, and you have a good night.
Okay, you too. Thanks for the call, Tommy.
All right, we'll see you on Friday.
Yep, see you then.
Thanks, Blake.
Bye-bye.
All right, so you go from being so eagerly and excited to what sounded like very sort of irritated at the end of it.
You know, it was one of those moments where I thought, what is he telling me right now? Do I believe this? Did I just lose my job? Or is this guy a maniac? I think you could hear it in my voice when I asked about the breathing. I was like, do you mean I just can't breathe?
I forgot all about that.
Me too. Oh. Man, it was always so great to have you in studio. And we are all so proud of you, dude. I get messages about you all the time. How's Blake doing? We're all so proud of you, man.
Well, listen, Bert, you do this thing where you like to turn the attention on someone else when it's really all about you. So I just want to tell you, I am proud of you, and I'm so grateful to have been on the show. I mean, this show tremendously changed my life in the best way possible, and I can't think of any more defining moment than when I came out on the show. And I mean, that's something that I think about often. I mean, you from the very beginning fostered a place of authenticity, belonging, and being a safe place for everyone. And I noticed that when I was an intern all the way up to when I was a part-timer. Bless your heart, Blake, you name it. And so it was it meant a lot to be able to come back and share that with you and the Burt Show family. And even seeing you guys at the Pride Parade this weekend, it's not a performance for any of you all. This is something you truly believe in. And I really think the show, the reason it stood the test of time is because of the character of you and what you stand for and what means a lot to you. And so while I think it is very incredibly lame that you're retiring, I do think you deserve it. And I'm looking forward to what the next chapter looks like in your life, Bert.
Thank you, my dude. You know you'll be part of it. I love you, man.
Hey, love you, too. And while I have the executives of the Cumulus on the line, Abby and Kristen in the morning, what are we waiting for?
I love you so much. Yeah.
We love you even more.
Love you, Blake.
I've done enough damage, so I'm going to leave now.
All right, my dude. I will talk to you later.
See you, bye.
See you now. Bye-bye.
Get it. The Bert Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
All right, we got a very tough putt here, Kristen. Usually when we do Love, Lost, and Founds, I come in here and I'm like, you know what? You just never know who's going to be listening to the morning show. You're throwing me again.
I'm suppressing it.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
She only yawns when I'm talking. I'm telling you.
No, she doesn't. It's my nervous system resetting.
Okay, and I understand why that was reset just a second ago.
She's a chronic yawner. It is what it is. It's almost like we do a morning show where we're kind of chronically sleep deprived.
Well, no. No,
but
to
there
be
are
fair.
10 other people in here that don't yawn their way through the show.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I have never noticed it.
I'm special, Bert.
Maybe it's something you talk to your physician about.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, it could be have something to do with my iron deficiency, right?
So look, when we do these Love, Lost, and Founds, there's always like, I always kind of feel like somebody listening is going to know somebody who's going to know somebody that we can reunite people that didn't get the phone number. But this is going to not only be like finding a needle in a haystack. This haystack got blown away years ago.
Yeah, this is a Love, Lost, and Found 2 years in the making. And I agree with you, Bert. I think this is going to be the most challenging one we've ever had. Hey, Ingrid, welcome to the Bert Show.
Hey there. How y'all doing this morning?
We are good. I feel like you've set us up for an impossible task, yeah. But we will do our best.
I want you guys to finish strong.
We've got to set the bar really low on this one here, Ingrid. So for those of you that might be new here, hey, thanks for coming. Sorry, you're only going to be around for another week. But Love, Lost, and Found is like if you have this chemistry with somebody, you meet each other, maybe it's in a plane, maybe it's in a restaurant, and then it comes to get the phone number, and then both of you kind of like wussy out, and it doesn't happen. You call us, we try to find the person. But this one happened years ago.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say such a blessing to talk to y'all on IRL. I'm going to miss you guys so much. Like so many other people, you've got me through so many things with laughs. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So yeah, 2 years ago, I was separated and from my ex-husband, and I made a commitment to myself, you know, I'm not even going to look at another guy in that way until I am legally divorced. Well, he didn't choose that option. That's what chose for me. So, as Kristen would say, the universe be universing. And, I was flying out of Philly when I lived in Pennsylvania at the time on my way to a bachelorette weekend in Daytona. As the universe would have it, I had a really tight layover in one of the largest airports, your lovely Atlanta airport. And I knew better. It was a 30-minute layover. Of course, I missed my flight.
Right.
Thankfully, my sister was zero notice. Another P1, shout out to Ilka, was able to pick me up and bring me back the next day. Something to know about me is that I am visually impaired. So when I travel, I use my white cane, which people who know me know that I call it my Moses stick because when I'm traveling, it parts the sea of people.
Okay. You're funny.
So the next day, my sister drops me off around 6:30 in the morning, tried and true out of Atlanta, flying Delta, and I meet the sky cap. And right at the gate, at the front door. And he says, hey, how you doing? I had my Moses stick ready to go. All I had was my backpack because, of course, with the missed flight, where's my luggage? Who knows? And what was interesting, and I know this is ironic to say, I felt seen when he asked me, do you want to walk or do you want a wheelchair? Because typically when people give me assistance that I request to my gate, they just automatically do wheelchair, whether it's easier for them, whether it's easy to identify, whatever. I no longer am offended by it, but me and my 6'2 frame, I'm willing to walk, and I know it's a large airport. So the fact that he gave me that choice, immediately, like, I was like, ooh, this guy. Okay. So we started to walk. And as you know, it's a really large airport. We got a lot of chance to talk. And I'm an introvert by nature, but it was something about him that was just so easy and comfortable to talk to. And we had, of course, a long time to talk and even to stretch out our time a little bit. I'll admit, I asked him to take me to the Dunkin' near my gate so I can get a little more time, wait in line, you know, that type of thing. And then it was just something about him that was just so genuine, so kind, so sweet without being condescending. He never treated me any differently. And I can usually pick up on that tone. I'm sure you guys like notice working with VBA kids, like just that little, oh, type thing. And he never was like that. So as soon as I sat down at my gate, I realized I forgot something at Dunkin'. I walked back with using an app to help me, and he saw me. He's like, oh, let me go finish with this person. I'll be right back. Stay right there. Mm-hmm. And he guided me back to my gate. Like, this guy, and this is 2 years ago. So the fact that I still remember like it was yesterday is crazy. And so I sat down, and I wrote a note, and I titled it ATL with the little two hearts with the prayer hands. And I was like, oh, I'm definitely sending this to the Burt Show. Little did I know I'd have 7 to 10 business days to send you guys this to hopefully make it happen. But you know what? Whatever happens, happens. I'm living in my era of bold, and why not? So that's, yeah. I wrote down that you guys want to hear like the things that I wrote down so yes. I can remember what to tell you. Okay.
Yes, please. Yeah.
He is beautiful man, chocolate, 6 feet. I'm 6'2", that's how I know. And I was close enough to where I could see his face, very kind. Every female coworker he walked by, he called them love. Hey, love, how you doing? How's it going, love? He's from New York. He was married at 24. At the time, 2 years ago, he had been divorced for 7 years. No kids, got a master's degree. Like I said, works at the airport. And I think his name is Jamal. I'm horrible with names, but for some reason, that's what sticks with me. That's pretty, and we bonded over the fact that, you know, our spouses did similar things. So, yeah, and we talked about forgiveness, and this is all just during a walk to my gate. So, like I said, it was no flirtation. I wasn't in the right mindset. He was being professional, but it was, again, something that hit me that I thought was just really kind. And but hey, if it's meant to be, why not connect?
Now, was this an airport employee or is this like a Delta employee? Because if it's Delta, then I can help you out.
It was a SkyCap. So I'm assuming that it was a Delta employee because he was right outside the Delta entrance.
But did he have on a Delta uniform?
That I don't remember. Everyone's wearing navy blue as far as I'm concerned, but it was 2 years ago. I don't remember.
Skycap is Delta.
Yeah. I think I may have found this guy.
Stop. Already?
No way.
So what did you say his name was again?
Jamal.
And I typed in Atlanta Airport and some other stuff. And a picture came up. So I'm going to text you a picture right now, and you tell me if this is a guy.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm hitting send right now.
Now, you can see this picture, right?
Thank you for asking. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Hold on. Oh, my gosh. I'm shaking right now. This is crazy.
All right. I sent it. It should be coming through.
I got it.
Is it him?
Ingrid, is it him?
No way!
Shut up. Are you serious?
No way.
Okay, so he is not a skycap. He's airport security. God.
He's airport security.
Oh, my God. Yes. Well, I felt very secure.
And also, and we got to wrap this up in about 40 seconds, but I found his Facebook page. I even have his nickname.
Come on.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Look, when you called this morning, I was like, this ain't going to happen.
I didn't think so either.
Oh, not a chance.
Gosh.
All right. So
oh,
we.
Oh, my gosh.
We got a break. So hang with us for just 1 second. And then on the other side here, we'll talk to you a little bit more. And then we'll reach out to this guy today and see if we can find out some more info, see if he's still available.
Lest you forget my witchy ways.
Congratulations. Well, hold on 1 second.
Get it. The Bird Show.